Thank you. Our processional hymn this morning is number 639, One More Step Along the World I Go, 639. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today. If it's your first time worshiping at Appleby, please say hello at the door and sign the newcomer's sheet just outside the hallway so I can give you a phone call this week. Please remember to pick up your annual reports. They should be out there somewhere. In the aisleway, if they run out, I know there's more in the office. Please look over all the awesome ministries that happen here at Appleby. And remember, the annual meeting is 2 weeks from today after the church on February 9th. Also, get ready for the wonderful show tunes, old-time sing-along this afternoon to help chase away the winter blues. It's at 2 p.m. Bring a friend, because I understand there's a guest appearance by the ukuleles. So, isn't there? Okay, good. They're just in awe. That's good. So, sounds like a lot of fun. Please remember to come. And I forgot last week to wish Andrea a happy birthday, Andrea Pepper. She turned 40, so congratulations. Isn't it nice to know you have so many friends?
Yeah, but they've all known me since I was born, so don't you feel old.
It's nice to be amongst friends. There you go. Thank you. Now I can't remember if I was supposed to tell them that or not, you know. But like you said, they've known you since, you know. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Cool.
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now acknowledge God's presence in word. Jesus called out to brothers, fishers by the sea, come and follow me. Sisters and brothers, Jesus still calls us. How shall we respond?
We will lay everything aside and worship Christ this day.
Come, let us worship God. Let us pray together. Faithful God, your invitation comes like the tide rolling in and rolling out. Sometimes gentle, sometimes thunderous, but always calling, calling, calling us to follow. Surround us with your loving presence this day as we gather to worship you and listen for your voice. Amen. Our next hymn is number 374, Come and Find the Quiet Center, 374. Please be seated. Let us take a moment for a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry, and it's based on the story we will be reading from Luke later in the service. Let us pray. God of Easter hope, it is easy to dismiss your resurrection miracles in the world we live in. To recognize you on the road, speak your enduring word to us, that our hearts may yearn to know you better. It's yearn. Help us follow our hearts when we meet you on the road and invite you to stay with us, that our eyes may be open to your life-giving presence. During times of confusion and doubt, open our eyes to the many ways you reveal yourself to us, that we may have the confidence to proclaim the miracle of Easter. Take a moment to think of some of the roads and paths you regularly travel and pray that you might better see people around you. Amen. Let us now rejoice in God's never-ending love for us. The good news is this: the kingdom of God is near.
As near as the Spirit moving among us this day.
As near as the love of Christ, whom we worship this day. We'll now have our first scripture lesson this morning. Yes.
Good morning. Our first reading from Stories of the Early Church comes from Acts 17, verses 20 to 28. And it can be found in the Good News Bible in the New Testament, page 184. Some of the things we hear you say sound strange to us, and we would like to know what they mean. For all the citizens of Athens and the foreigners who live there like to spend all their time telling and hearing the latest new thing. Paul stood up in front of the city council and said, "I see that in every way you Athenians are very religious. For as I walked through your city and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which is written, 'To an unknown God.' That which you worship then, even though you do not know it, is what I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by human hands. Nor does he need anything that we can supply by working for him, since it is he himself who gives life and breath and everything else to everyone. From one human being, he created all races of people and made them live throughout the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of the places where they would live. He did this so that they would look for him and perhaps find him as they felt around for him. Yet God is actually not far from any one of us, as someone has said, 'In him we live and move and exist.' It is as some of your poets have said, 'We too are his children.'" So ends the reading.
If you notice that picture, I am pretty sure that that is Mars Hill, where Paul spoke to the people in Athens, and that's a view from probably taken from the Parthenon. So it's kind of cool that we have that for today. Our next passage is from Luke chapter 24, the stories of Jesus. And it is a resurrection appearance, and it's on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus comes and walks alongside some discouraged disciples who can't make sense of the events that have been happening. On the same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. And as they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and considered by God and all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the book of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. Thanks be to God for these words.
I am the salt of the world.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have routines in the morning? Anybody have a routine? Thank you. Maybe getting up, the way you make your coffee, read the paper. How many of you also have patterns through the week that take you out of the house? Anybody have routines during the week that take you out of the house? Thank you very much. If you're not still working, at least getting the groceries, getting the mail, other activities. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is getting from A to B with eyes wide open. And I want to thank you for coming today and gathering with the community of faith to share stories of Jesus and encourage one another on our walk. Today you will learn about a missional incarnational community, what those words mean, and if you want to be one, you need to first look, listen, and learn about the neighborhood in which you live. We will see from the passage in Acts today that Paul is a good example of being in a community with his eyes wide open, and you'll learn some tips on how to walk alongside of some people in the Emmaus road of life. Can I share a little bit of my story with you today? Thank you. Now, this is an old story for me, but it's one that's so imprinted in my mind, it keeps jumping up at me every time I get in a car to drive, especially now that I'm commuting back and forth. Have any of you ever been on autopilot? Okay, you kind of know that phrase? One morning, going to the University of Windsor, I all of a sudden woke up at the stoplight on Giles and Parent. If you know Windsor, that's a long ways from Toronto Road, where I stumbled out of the house to go to school that morning. And it kind of scared me. You know, I woke up like, what? How did I get here? Now, another example of when I'm driving, does anybody here have clutter up here? Anybody know about clutter? You know, your mind's racing. What am I going to do today? And certainly, you know, if for some reason I'm a little annoyed and on a slow burn. Anybody here ever been on a slow burn? You know, your mind is preoccupied. And when that happens, I have a word that I say to myself. Focus. Okay? You're driving. You're behind the wheel of a car. Focus on the cars in front of you and the people around you. So today, my question for you is, what are some of your patterns through the week? And I want you to think of the patterns that get you out of the house. And in those patterns, do you notice what's around you? Does that make sense? What are the patterns that get you out of the house? And in those patterns, how much do you notice of what's around you? Please say hello to someone you usually don't talk to and talk about your habits, your patterns, your pathways. Go. please stop. Thank you. And remember, when you go to Coffee and Conversation or walking down the hall and you want to start up a conversation with someone, it's easy because you say, what are your patterns? What are your pathways that you go throughout the week? And you're off to the races. Last week, I talked a little bit about incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and moving into the neighborhood. And just as God called Jesus to live out God's love and compassion in the place where he lived, and at that time and place, so are we called to live out God's love and compassion in the time and place where we live. So if Appleby is to become a flourishing, missional, incarnational community, our first task must be to look, listen, and learn. Can you say those words with me, please? Look, listen, and learn. Thank you. Missional. What is outside these walls? As the Father has sent me, so do I send you. Incarnational. The Word becomes flesh. We don't just sit here and listen to the minister talking about being loving and kind and compassionate, and we don't just talk about it. What do? Yeah, we do it. We put it into action, into our day-to-day lives in relationship with others, incarnational. So if Appleby is to become a missional, incarnational community, we must intentionally look, listen, and learn. In other words, when we go about our weekly patterns and pathways, routines of getting from A to B, we're doing so with eyes wide open. Thank you very much. What might you look for as you are moving from A to B?
Stoplights.
That's a great idea. Stoplights. Anything else what you might notice as you're traveling around?
Other people walking the same road.
Other people walking along. Are they young? Are they old? Don't they have children? Do they have pets? Yes, absolutely. Being observant, who is walking along the roads? Any other things you might notice?
I pass horses on my way to work.
Horses, God's creation. Awesome. The birds, thank you. Are they condos? Single family units? Do you drive through an industrial park? What kind of industry? Where do the workers come from? Does that make sense? The people young, are they old? What might you be listening for?
Sirens.
Sirens, thank you. Yeah, what do you have to do if you hear a siren?
Located,
thank you. Then pull over off to the right. I have to remember that, you know. I don't always remember that. Does anybody have the radio on as they travel about in their vehicle? Anybody?
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely, thank you. Do you know that music is one of the best mediums for culture in our day and age, but also other day and ages? What are the words to the songs? Movies are also a huge medium for our culture. Are they asking questions? So actually, going to the show, you can be doing research about the world in which we live. Isn't that great? You're not just going to have fun. I went and did some research this week. I went and saw a show. What?
Star Wars.
Absolutely. I did. You're going to be helpful in a minute, okay? What questions is that movie asking about life? Is it just a fun bang bang shoot 'em up flick because that's all there is to life? Or are some values being portrayed? Think about Star Wars. Thank you. Anybody seen a Star Wars movie? At least one of them? Okay, there's a few of you. Thank you. What values do you think are being portrayed in Star Wars?
Good versus evil, light versus dark.
Thank you. Anything else?
Courage.
Courage. Thank you. Anything else?
The force is everywhere.
Devotion. The force is everywhere. Do you remember how Obi-Wan described the force? Because I don't particularly remember it, but it's around you, within you, guide you. It's everywhere. Does that sound familiar at all, the description of the force?
Like duct tape, it has a light side, a dark side, and it holds the universe together.
It's like duct tape. That's not what I was thinking of. Light side, dark side, holds the universe together. I was kind of thinking a little more about God, but you know, or the spirit, you know. But thank you for expanding my horizon here today. That's absolutely wonderful. So songs and movies, sports teams, pop culture, they're all entry points to conversations about people you meet along the road. To a young person, you might ask, have you seen the new Star Wars movie yet? And if they're not a fan, oh, I'm not a fan. Oh, well, I guess I got hooked a while ago. This is what I like about them. Dan White Jr. states that the second step to becoming a missional incarnational community is to move from unconscious busyness to conscious habitation. Unconscious busyness. Anyone here ever found themselves rushing around like a chicken with their... Thank you. Exactly. Rush, 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 here, there, everywhere. When you're doing that, do you notice much of what's around you? No, you're totally focused on where I'm going, what I got to do next, and what's next on the list. Unconscious busyness, we have a way of doing that with our lives, to conscious habitation. Being intentional to stop, look, listen, and learn about the community and people around you. The place where God has planted you to become the Word made flesh. To do that, you need to move about your day from A to B with eyes wide open. Thank you. And with your ringer off. Thank you. It's God calling. Thank you. Well, you better talk to God then, because, you know, it's a rare occasion. Now, Paul, in our passage of Scripture today, might be an excellent example of traveling through a community with your eyes wide open. In the passage we read today, Paul says, "I see that in every way you Athenians are very religious. For as I walked through your city and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which it is written, to an unknown God." So as Paul walked through the city of Athens, he was observant. He looked at all the public billboards, which are statues, realized he was, quote unquote, in a university town, a place of great learning and philosophy, and was on the lookout for a point of contact. And he noticed an altar inscribed to an unknown God. Not only does Paul show sensitivity to his audience, by referring to that, he also borrows a phrase from their own philosophy, pop song or movies, to help make a connection. In him we live and move and have our being. Borrowed from Greek philosophy. Paul, in this passage, is exhibiting conscious habitation. In the Church as Movement book, Dan White Jr. states, we are becoming incredibly antisocial as a society. That people are often busy running around from place to place. We don't see, acknowledge, or engage in with others on our path throughout the week. Now, cell phones and earbuds certainly don't help that situation. But as people of God, we are called to work to counter this phenomena. We are called to be the Word made flesh, to make human contact. Dan is asking us to be conscious and think of the pathways we take during our week. Do we walk? Do we drive? Are we on autopilot as we go along? Do we consciously notice the people and things along our path, or are we too focused on the list we have to do? Are we open to stopping and saying hello, as Jesus did with those people walking along the Emmaus Road? How do we break the silence? It can be simple in some instances. Anybody here have a dog? A few, thank you. Have you ever noticed that dog walkers love to talk to other dog walkers? You know, and they love to have you ask questions about what kind of dog is that? You know, why did you choose that kind of dog? You know, enter into a conversation. What do you like about your miniature schnauzer? We have a miniature schnauzer. And on his walk, Dan always passes a bus station. And he stops and talks to a person who is always there. He now knows his name is Reggie. And he has become a person to Dan. And Dan to him. Being conscious of billboards and signs, types of houses and businesses, give us clues, listen to the music, to the culture of the community, because such information helps to give us conversation connectors with people along the way. Look again at the beginning of the familiar story of the Emmaus Road. Two people walking along with sad faces. Maybe the sad face is a clue to an opening line. Jesus asks, what are you talking about? Or simply saying, you look a little bummed out today. You know, is there anything I can do to help? Notice Jesus asks the question, engages, and then lets the visitors talk, tell their story. I love Henry Nouwen's understanding of hospitality in his book, Reaching Out. Hospitality is providing a safe place for someone to tell their story without fear of judgment. Because before a person can take the next step in their life, they need someone to hear and acknowledge their story. I've often heard people say, I don't know what to say to people or how to advise people. How do I respond? I love Henry Nouwen's advice. Our most important question as a healer, notice you're a healer as you engage others. You know, we are made for community, conversation. The most important question as a healer is not what to say or do, but how to develop enough inner space where the story can be received. I'm going to confess some of my boo-boos. Have you ever listened to someone, and while you're listening to them, your mind is racing on how to counter that argument or what to say? Anybody here guilty of that? So we need to learn how to quieten the chatter. Really honest receptivity means inviting the person into our world, and we create enough space so we can hear their story on their terms, not ours. And in our world with so many religious convictions, ideologies, and lifestyles, the essence of a Christian spirituality is to receive our fellow human beings into our world without imposing our viewpoint, ideology, or way of doing things as a condition for our love, our friendship, and our care. There may become a time when we can share things, but the first step is to listen. In receiving a person's story non-judgmentally, we make room for the Spirit to work in that person's life to help them plot the next steps on their journey. Wow. I love Henry Nouwen's advice. I think I've asked you before, if some of you get The Spectator, I found a really interesting story this past week on what I think it means to walk from A to B with eyes wide open, and then becoming the Word made flesh again in our day and age. I don't know how many of you noticed the article about Connie this past week. And it said that about 5 years ago, you know, people began to notice a woman living under a bridge in Hamilton. She was almost always there. And for whatever reason, she preferred to live there rather than move into a shelter. So a group of people who noticed this raised about $1,000 amongst themselves and made Connie a little shelter, kind of like an ice shack. Some mistook it for an old strike shack. It had a door. It was made of insulated plywood with a window and a candle stove. It had a wood pallet for a porch, but it was often hidden from view by the shopping cart full of clothes and recyclables. So that was back in 2015, so she's been living in it for about 5 years. But recently, the city removed the shed. You know, there's encampments throughout Hamilton that the city constantly removes, but did so without the usual encampment response team that tries to work with homeless residents before shelters are torn down. In a world of troubled lives and broken dreams, the travelers on the Emmaus Road, who notices? As a missional, incarnational community, we are called to go about our weekly routines with eyes wide open, recognizing where we are called to be God's Word made flesh in the neighborhoods where we live. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 635, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, 635. Thank you. Please be seated. We have all walked an Emmaus road at some point in our life, downcast, alone, afraid, unsure of what to do next. Please know that your morning's offerings help provide resources for someone to come up and walk alongside until eyes are open to the light of a new day and a new way. Thanks be to God. We'll now have our morning's offering. These are but tokens, gracious God, of the riches you have given us. Take with these our time, our talent, our questions, our hopes. We dedicate these gifts in our lives in the name of Jesus to help people turn around and run back to the community, to health, to new life, rejoicing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Many of us spend our lives rushing, O God, from here to there to get things done, to go to places we need to be to achieve our destinies. Some of us spend our time hurrying from place to place through one activity on the way to another, forgetting to take time to notice, to enjoy what is around us. Slow us down, O God, to walk and drive with eyes wide open to the neighborhoods and the people that live there. Help us to remember, O God, that many of your stories are about walking from place to place, noticing and attending to the needs of people you met along the way. And you call us to follow and do likewise. Help us to slow down our hurrying, O God, and to calm our rushing, taking time to settle into worship and to settle into God both here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. What a joy to be gathered together as one people in all our diversity, in all our strengths and weaknesses, with all our different perspectives, with all our different voices, mirroring the world outside these walls. Help us to use that diversity to see the world as you, O God, intended it to be, empathizing with neighbors and by acknowledging the light that burns brightly within the stranger. We come to this place with our humanity, seeking to encounter other human beings that share our fears, our hopes, our insecurities, our desires, our passion, and our pain. Thanks be to you, O God, for giving us the ability to see the world more fully through the divine spark that connects us all. This we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is from the soft-covered More Voices hymn book. I have called you by your name, number 161. It's in that hymn book and on the screen, number 161.
Oh,
The Magi went home a different way, and today you read of how Jesus walked along beside two disciples on the Emmaus Road. God calls us to go home a different way, living with eyes wide open, being sensitive to the call of being God's hands and feet, curiosity and compassion in this time and place. Do so knowing that the Spirit of God goes with you, the love of God surrounds you, and the Holy Spirit and compassion of Christ goes with you.
Welcome one another.